Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man that needeth no introduction, the captain, the man in the chair, my cohort in crime, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, I bring tidings from humid Florida.
You bring the crud from human Florida back up here to Washington. With
I do. I had the blessing of me and one of my other elders went down to Florida for the General Assembly of the Reformed Baptist Network, and it was a great time. But much like the early church, they held all things in common, and that includes viruses. And I was graciously given something to remember them by. And the morning of our flight back home got hit with a nasty head cold, which, you know, anyone who has ever had a head cold, you know, head colds and altitude don't mix well.
No.
So I had a horrible head cold while stuck in a tubular contraption flying hundreds of miles through the air with a whole bunch of other people.
So, as Kenneth Copeland would say, you were in a tube full of demons.
I was the demon. Yeah. In this case, I was the demon. Oh yeah, gosh. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Kenneth, he's got Somehow. Me on that one. He's got Somehow. Me on that one. I was the demon in this case. But had a great time of fellowship, great network. We'll definitely talk more about that on the Podluck, because dudes, that week was crazy.
It was.
Dude, I ran into, so I'll tease it here, but if you want the story, you got to go over, I got to head over to the Podluck. I ran into Lawrence Taylor, like greatest defensive back of all time.
Such a weird
me and
thing.
Lawrence Taylor hanging out, watching golf, smoking cigars. It was a wild trip. Okay. Absolutely wild.
Oh my gosh.
If you want to hear more about that, that's going to be exclusive over on the Patreon for sure. But like some of the stuff that he was talking about, like some of the reason he was there, kind of the business dealings, dude, insane. Like I can't wait to get into it. It's going to be hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Here we go.
But, we've got, so all that to say, I'm still a little under the weather, so I apologize for any sniffles, if you happen to hear any, but try to mask those as much as I can. But we've got a lot to talk about, Jack. A lot has happened over the last couple weeks in preparing for our trip, or my trip. We recorded episodes in advance, right? Mm-hmm. So normally when we would respond to things kind of as they come up. Did not have the opportunity this time. So it's been in a very eventful couple weeks in our country.
And especially within surrounding the local church. And we're going to get into some of that today. Yeah, so a lot to talk about. But before we do, Jack, it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works these days. Jack, my friend, we've got a couple wild ones for you.
Okay.
This first one, I don't even really know how to preface this first one. Let's just say they be letting anyone lead worship these days. Let's just say that. All right. I'm just going to preface it by saying that. I'm going to throw it over to you here, and you can judge for yourself.
Wars are raging across the globe. Blood's crying in the streets of our nation. Mothers weeping. Fathers are grieving because of violence. Racial tensions dividing our communities. Tearing at the very soul of our humanity. But Jesus.
All right.
Is she just like saying stuff to like tunes and that's it? Like, what the heck?
Also, dude, do you remember the first Harry Potter?
Yes.
This lady looks like the lady that has the vision and gets in Harry Potter's face, like the herbs professor.
It's not McGonagall, literal reading of the tea leaves, and it was like some sort of it was symbolized by a wolf because of his uncle or his godfather's name.
Right.
But it was like the dread. Apparently, like the tea leaves, it's like you have the dread over you or something like that. And it's symbolized by a wolf. It was she's in a ton of stuff.
Sybil. I found the. Hold on, I'm gonna see if I can.
Dude,
hold on. This might be
separated at birth.
I don't know.
Separated at birth, side by side.
Separated at birth, dude. Hang on, I'm gonna find it here. Because
I'm trying to remember.
This was the first lady. This is the first one that I thought of.
Spit my water out when you do this.
Yeah. Here we go. I found it. Can I share? Hold on. I got to get out of this one.
Gosh, who was the actress that portrayed her? It was like a very famous British actress too.
Like this lady.
Oh my gosh. Lady. Yep. Like, nailed it. Yeah. Nailed it.
That's her.
Nailed it. Yeah. Oh my
Professor Trelawney.
Yeah.
She's the one that gets in his face and she's all like, you've got this.
you've got the dread.
The dread on you.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. All right, Jack. So that's that one. My next one here for you. This is what happens. I'm going to sound too much like a boomer, but this is what happens when you let the millennials lead worship.
Church. Not another Brandon Lake one, right?
No, not that. No, not that one. I'm going to see how long it takes you to get what the vibe is hitting here. Also, before this starts, I want to say I walk into a church and this is playing. I'm thinking, like, what did I just walk into Macy's? Like, what in the world? What's happening?
Is this
here?
A nightclub? Like, are we serving drinks? Like, what's going on here?
I'm expecting, someone to come out and start crooning, which I mean, honestly, is kind of what happens. So.
Could you be mine?
mine.
This is not a worship song, people.
It's brought to you, brought to you by Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers is not a worship leader.
He was Presbyterian, but not a pastor. Well, yeah. Actually, he might have been. He might have been.
He might have been ordained, a minister, an Presbyterian minister.
But I don't think Mr. Rogers would advocate for his theme song to the children's show being used in church. Hopefully, a mega church.
Yes. For that, yeah, for that a mega church.
Anyway, Jack, it's a beautiful day to be a neighbor. And would you be mine? Would you be mine? This Lord's
I'm trying to find some neighbors right now. There's some houses that are for sale around.
Yeah, if you guys want to go, be
you want to live in Tacoma and hopefully not get the. Get the SWAT truck pulled up in front of your house. Come on down to Tacoma Town.
But if Jack gets arrested again, you'll have front row seats.
There you go. There you go. Front row seats.
All right. Well, that was Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And we thank everyone for sending us all of the entries because, boy, they're fun. They're super fun. Jack, my man, it is time to get into our topic today. Oh, my goodness. A lot's happened.
Yeah.
It's been a busy couple weeks.
Yeah.
So as I said at the top, you and I had had a couple eps pre-recorded because we knew we were going to be on a trip, and which meant that we really didn't we didn't have any. This is the first time you and I have sat down to record together in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously, country was shocked. Actually, Jack and I were together the day that Charlie Kirk was murdered.
Yeah, we were sitting down eating lunch. I got a banner notification that said Charlie Kirk was shot, and I'm like, I think right before I walked into the place to have lunch with you, and you're like, dude, do you know what's going on? And I'm like, I saw something, but like, is it serious? Like, what's the deal? He's like, oh yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh crap.
Right.
So
yeah. So obviously, I mean, this is old news by now, right? If you're just hearing this from the reformatory, then maybe you're under too heavy of a rock, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, he was obviously assassinated, and very sad, evil, demonic situation. Just not good. Very sad. I feel like there's really nothing to be said on that hasn't already been said. Obviously, we grieve for his dear wife, his two kids who are going to grow up without their dad, or at least their birth dad. I don't know if she'll remarry or not, but very sad situation. Very young guy, younger than both Jack and I, which is crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's all like that's. Yes, and amen to the sadness, the grief, the evil of that situation. Justice will be done. All that. What Jack and I are going to talk about today, which I think has not gotten enough conversation or as much conversation as I think it should have, was not the events of Charlie Kirk's murder itself, but how a lot of individuals within the local church. Reacted or responded to that event, namely, and we got a lot of DMs and a lot of messages saying, "Hey, are you gonna talk about this? You're gonna talk about this? You're gonna talk about this?" Right? We're gonna go into greater detail into some of the specific quotes on the podluck because that's something that we're able to do a little bit more freely. But something that Jack and I very much wanted to address was. I would say the onslaught of individuals, both pastors and non-pastors, coming on the socials saying something to the effect of, and this was all during the week up until the Sunday after Charlie Kirk was murdered. So this would have been two Sundays ago at this point, I believe.
Yeah. Yep. So it was September 10th.
The event.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it would have been that the rest of that, because that was a Tuesday, I think. A Tuesday or a Wednesday. And then I think it was the rest of that week.
It was a Wednesday.
Up until Sunday. Saying things to the effect of, if your pastor or if your church does not speak on the events of Charlie Kirk, does not condemn it, does not basically use that Sunday as a means to address the events that happened. You have, if they don't do that, you have unfaithful leaders that are cowards, and you need to leave that local church because it's not a biblical church.
Yeah.
That is, unfortunately, the response that we saw a whole lot of in those few days. And I'll say that that to me just kind of compounded grief upon grief.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that response is the biblical response that we should be taking. And there's multiple reasons for that. But I want to throw that over to you first, Jack, to see if you were kind of seeing some of the same responses I was.
Yeah, I was just seeing obnoxious stuff in the Sunday and that Monday. I think it was, gosh, what was it, like the 15th? Yeah, it was, I think, well, the 14th and the 15th. Those days were filled with some of the most self-excommunicating statements I've ever seen in my entire life as a believer, which is going on about 20 years as a believer here next year. So to see people so, I don't think I've seen that level of frustration in the church since, I mean, I hate to bring this up, but the, like, what happened to George Floyd, that kind of level, but on a different scale of the political side. So George Floyd, it seemed like more people on center left and left political leanings were very ticked off about, if your pastor, like, very much holding to, if your pastor doesn't say something about what's going on with George Floyd, like, leave. Mm-hmm. Now it's boomeranged back around to now Charlie Kirk is now the figure in which we're talking about this.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, if your pastor just isn't in tune with your local church, that's something to be concerned about. Sure. Like, okay, if your pastor can't read a room, if your pastor doesn't know what's going on in, and I think here's the problem. The problem is most of these people who quote unquote self-excommunicate themselves from these churches are in a bigger mega church or a bigger church that just isn't, there's not a sense of understanding or shepherding that's going on there. Mm-hmm. So I think this is way more deeper than just, you didn't say this, thus I'm leaving.
Oh, no, sure,
there's a deeper level of maybe
there's an not obvious shepherding. There's an obvious lack of a biblical ecclesiology.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So it's obviously, like, okay, wait, this is the thing that's going to make you leave a church versus you didn't even bring up the fact that you have 1,000 members in your church and you have 2 pastors.
Right.
That should be more concerning to you than your pastor saying anything about Charlie Kirk on a Sunday morning,
sure,
on a Lord's Day service.
Sure.
Like, if your people are not getting shepherded, there should be 5 alarm, you know, sirens going off everywhere for people that have ears to hear and eyes to see.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think the problem, this outrage that I was seeing from, I don't know if all of them are, it's hard to say. I don't know if all of them are believers, if they just have been believers. I don't know the level of spiritual maturity I'm dealing with either, with when people say this on the podcast sphere, on basically just recording it on Instagram reel. Like, I literally saw one guy, I hate to bring up the name that shall not be named, but a guy who basically filmed himself walking out of his church and said, well, I'm done. He didn't mention it. Mark Driscoll, I'm going to you next. I'm like, oh God, please don't go that route. Yeah. That's the last, like, that's like literally going down the river Styx at that point. Like, you're not coming back from that, buddy. So it's just very, I feel like a bunch of sophomoric responses to an absolute tragedy that needs to be understood. Mm? Like, a guy got basically assassinated.
Yes.
In public.
Yeah.
Everybody watching. And that video is still on social media.
Oh, it's gnarly. Yeah.
And it is, yeah. it is not for the faint of heart, to be quite honest.
It's not.
For me, as somebody who went through war, it's like, whoa, I haven't seen that kind of stuff since, I mean, since I was in Afghanistan.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of swirling things going on here. I think a lot of it is we are so programmed in our society from algorithms. We are literally duped. I hate to use Denzel's Malcolm X quote, but when he's there's a scene from like Malcolm X where he's like on this like podium and he's like, "You've been hoodwinked. You've been you've been bamboozled. You've been run out." But I hate to say that, but we have been hoodwinked and bamboozled and lied to because we are living off of algorithms right now.
Sure.
I hate to go into the billionaires and the trillionaires, like kind of language of Bernie here, but like there are billionaires making money off us hating each other right now.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that the level in which that hate grows and grows and grows and grows doesn't help the ministry of your local church that hopefully is trying to grow you and mature you in the scriptures and in faith and in wanting to grow in this community of believers in your local church.
Yeah.
So I think there's stuff that's stacked against us. There's algorithms. There's stuff that's everywhere. That's if you don't do this, then this will happen. And it's like, let's go back to the basics of why are we taking cues from anybody else outside of our eldership team right now?
Well, and that's the question. Right. And I think that's a great question is, you know, again, if this had happened 20 years ago, right, I don't think we would have seen the same thing because not as many. And look, this is going to sound harsh, but I mean it. So I'm going to say it 20 years ago, as many idiots didn't get a platform. Right. Like you couldn't just conjure up a crowd as easy as you can today, right? Yeah. And one of the biggest issues that I had was this. As someone who you know, obviously we're in the world, we're in the culture, we have to shepherd our people through it. That's part of our job, right? If you are abdicating in that role and you are not shepherding your people to how to think in the culture that they live in, yeah, I would say you're not doing your job, right? Us pastors need to faithfully preach the word of God and to show our people this is how you take the word of God and apply it to the world that you live in, right? That's part of your job. That's what you do. I understand that, right?
Yeah.
But the second that we start dictating to one another how that is supposed to be done or what that's supposed to look like, and if you don't do it this way, you don't do it this way, you don't do it this way, we've stepped out of bounds of the authority that we have. And the discouraging thing for me was there's going to be a lot of pastors in America. They're going to have a hard enough time shepherding their people in a reasoned, biblical, balanced way. Now, what you have is a handful of knuckleheads on Twitter, people like Mark Driscoll, Joel Webbin, Dale Partridge, the Ogden guys that are saying, if your pastor's shepherding does not look exactly like this, oh, by the way, exactly like us, then your church is not faithful and you should leave. And you should probably come to one of our churches because we're the only ones that are doing it right. That's the response. And whether, you can wordsmith that however you want, and they definitely did, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
Right. And I have a problem with that. Because what you are doing, one, is showing your lack of understanding of how the local church is pastored, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a cookie cutter way of pastoring the local church. Every congregation is going to deal with things differently and be shepherded differently. And the Lord has given specific pastors to specific people for specific reasons. And for you to say, if your pastor does not, but dot, 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 you're showing your lack of understanding of how pastoral ministry and local church ministry works. Mm-hmm. And that to me is so frustrating, because now you have added, you have created an added weight that you have now put on the shepherds of that local church. Now that's in their head. And this happened in COVID too. It's the same thing that happened in COVID, that if your church doesn't respond this way and this way and this way, find a new church. I experienced that.
Yep.
We can't be doing that. That's out of bounds, because now what that's doing is setting you up as the barometer of what shepherding looks like. And as far as I have seen, none of those guys that were the loudest on what faithfulness looks like shepherding through this Charlie Cook thing, I wouldn't let near the pulpit. I wouldn't let near my people, because they're not qualified.
Yeah.
And they speak out of emotion and not out of reason's truth. And you get guys like Driscoll who are just grifting on the situation again. Here's my new booklet that I wrote on how to find.
We'll talk about
that on the pod. We got the book, Jack. We got the book.
Oh my gosh, Josh. One got of our, the book. Dude,
we're going to talk about it on the podluck. Okay. But here's my book on how to find a biblical local church. This is coming from Driscoll.
The most unqualified turd. Sorry. But like the guy the biggest coward that we've seen in the last 20 years run from his church, run from church discipline, is going to tell you what local church to go to. Guys, please do not take that bait. Please don't take that bait.
And like, just, and like, again, I understand people listening to this might think that we're being harsh, and I'm not trying to be, but Paul had very harsh words for the individuals in second. Like, I'm going through 2 Timothy right now with my congregation.
Oh, yeah.
This is very apropos. Paul is saying there's going to be people coming into your church that have the specific desire to cause dissension and division within the body. Don't even give them the time of day, is what he says. And a lot of these dudes, these Driscolls, these Webbins, these Partridges that are just shooting their mouth off on social media, it has the effect of causing division within the body, because now people are going to be very influenced by that and say, well, my pastor didn't preach about Charlie Kirk. Maybe I do need to find a new church. And now you're a wolf because you have caused doubt and division within the body of Christ. It's that serious. So yeah, I get a little amped up when other pastors try to tell me and my fellow faithful elders how to lead and shepherd our people. That's always going to get a slight rise out of me, because you don't know me.
Yeah.
You don't know my people. You obviously don't understand how shepherding works. Mm-hmm. You're great on Twitter and you can command a crowd from your pulpit, but you're a horrible shepherd.
Well, not like that, but like, did we not learn from the Reformation, guys? Are you not?
Apparently not.
Are you not trying to set yourself up as a social media pope?
Yeah, seriously.
You are. Every single person who is coming up to the social media platform and saying, if you don't do this, you are thus not now part of us. I'm sorry. Last time I checked, we went through the Reformation and nobody got to name you pope. And so we're not going through this again, people. Yeah. We are not going through that sledge. We're not going through that ditch that we just came out of 500 plus years ago so that you could use technology to try and make your new fiefdom. Like, we shouldn't be doing this, and we shouldn't be giving people the time of day in order to do that. And we should have this kind of episode where we say, hey, last time we checked, the Reformation meant something. And you know what it meant? No more popes, guys. Yeah. We don't want to do the Pope thing. You know why? Because it's not in Scripture.
Yeah, we tried that.
So it's
I'm a firm believer in the autonomy of the local church.
Yeah.
And when you try to dictate what comes out of our pulpit, you're in direct defiance of that. And I'm going to guard that pretty viciously. All right. So it's, and look, here's the thing, right? If people haven't turned this off by now, if your pastor did use the Sunday to preach on the events of the, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. I'm not saying that the opposite is bad. If your pastor like felt that, you know, the needs of his church required him to take a break from their series and, hey, we're going to talk about injustice. We're going to talk about how God overcomes evil, right? Whatever it is. Good for him. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure that congregation was blessed, but just because a pastor decides not to do that, does not give you the right to call into question their faithfulness, their love of God and his word, their love for their people, or their ability to shepherd. That is asinine. That is so off base. What's ironic is that the people that are the loudest in calling out the unfaithfulness of churches aren't fit to lead churches themselves.
Yeah.
And the other thing that it does is it presumes that the only shepherding those pastors are doing is from the pulpit, which is telling, because I think a lot of these guys view the pulpit as the end-all, be-all of their ministry.
Sure, yep.
Right? Here's the thing. We didn't preach on Charlie Kirk the Sunday after that he was assassinated, but it doesn't mean that we didn't lead and shepherd through it. I wrote an article about the events and how we as a local church should respond to it. I'll drop the link in the description of this episode. You can read it. Our people were shepherded. Our people know they can come to us and talk through these things. We do help direct the thoughts and the minds of our people with the authority of Scripture. But because we didn't mention it in our sermon or have an entire Sunday dedicated to that topic, oh, we're unfaithful.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that junk, dude. Delete your Twitter account and figure out what it actually means to be a pastor, because you're off base, partner.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just, it's one of those things, Jack, where it's nothing, and I'm sure people can tell, not much gets me animated. But when you start messing with the flock,
yeah,
and you start infiltrating your way into people's minds and people's hearts and causing division within the local church, you're going to get a rise out of me. And that's what these knuckleheads are doing. And they will be held accountable for those things.
Yeah.
And I don't think they understand. They either don't understand the division that they're causing, or they do and they don't care. Either way,
yeah, I think
you're not fit for the position that you have.
Yeah. We've been going through, this was like weeks in advance actually, but the scripture that we had that we acknowledged like what's been going on, and the mm-hmm. Charlie Kirk situation wasn't the only thing that had been happening that week. There was a school shooting in Colorado. There was like a couple other things that happened. At that point, what's the line like that needs to happen in order for us, if you think that a national shooting needs to be the line in which you address something mm-hmm. or something that happens with the police or XYZ, right? So if you're dictating that to my congregation in Tacoma, we've had some homicides that have not been fun to deal with.
Yeah.
So you want me to divert from what's happening in my community that affects my local church that we're dealing with to deal with this thing? Yeah.
We'll never open the Bible, dude. We live in Washington.
We will. Yeah. We
live in Washington State.
We will literally be reading the newspaper in church, and we'll never get to scripture, and people will never be equipped, and we will never be building up the saints in order to do ministry, because you guys want us to try and read the tea leaves out of these newspaper clippings and try and make something of that in order to fix your little fiefdoms. And that's not how this is happening, you guys.
Yeah.
This is not how the Lord's Day is going to happen especially in Josh and I's churches. The scriptures are going to be preached, and the community is going to be held up by the fact that we're gathering together, and we're not forsaking the gathering of the Lord's believers, of the saints, mm-hmm. because, And we're not even going to go into the ways that you want services to go to, because we're not holding to your guys' standards. Like, you aren't the Pope. Deal with it. Like, you aren't the arbitrator of what truth is. Jesus is.
Yeah.
And once you guys have subverted that, you will subvert anything in order to keep your power, not only your power in your church, but the power that you think you have on social media and the culture and everything else. So,
well, and they've already proven that. Like, again, it's the same song and dance with the same actors, right? Like, they've already shown time and time again their willingness to lift themselves up as the arbiters of truth and faithfulness while putting others down, right? The throwing people under the bus mentality is not new.
Yeah.
Right. So again, just be faithful, right? Yeah. It comes down to faithfulness. Preach the word, apply the word correctly. And if you're a pastor, like, use the word of God to address those events. Good. Again, I pray it was encouraging, and I pray that he preached the gospel through that. Right?
Yeah.
But if your pastor didn't, don't excommunicate him in your mind and in your heart, and don't excommunicate yourself. That's not a good reason to leave a church, no matter what the online worldly wise men tell you.
Yeah,
that's an unacceptable response. And the fact that we have pastors, like, it's one thing if, you know, uninformed, immature, you know, non pastors, you know, shoot this stuff off. I get it. But you're in the position of leading people and you're saying this. Like, you're in a position of caring for people's souls, and you're holding this standard. Like at this point, like, if the standard is, I mean, can two play at this game? Can I start throwing stuff back? Like, well, if your pastor didn't talk on, you know, the latest episode of Joe Rogan and what Joe said about Christianity, then you need to leave the church. I mean, at what point? And look, I get it, right? Yeah. I understand the events that happen, horrific, and it'll be in the history books. Like, I understand it was a big event, right? But we don't preach the newspaper. That's not what we're here to do, right? We take the word of God and we apply it correctly. And that looks differently depending on who your pastor is and who and your local church. And we have to have grace and the ability to have that understanding that not every local church is shepherded the same. And there's just some individuals that I think just have a hard time getting that. And we need to do better as Christians to have grace with our brothers and sisters. And if they respond differently than we do in a certain situation, maybe not let the first thing that you jump to is that, oh, that must mean that they're unfaithful and unfit to lead. Maybe there's some other details going on there that have affected the response, right? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. If the Pac-Man's listening, is this spicy enough for you?
Someone send more? This, we can get you more.
This, someone send this to the Pac-Man and ask him, hey, when you said we're edgy, is this what you meant?
What do you got for me?
What do you got for me? I got nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing for you.
Yeah. It's just very much like, we're coming upon Reformation Month.
Dude, we are, dude. I'm
this
fired
is so,
up.
This is so applicable.
If your pastor
to what
does not
we,
preach on Reformation Month. No, I'm kidding.
Jeez. It's just so applicable. Like, things don't, like, everything gets repackaged and reorganized and put on a plastic lunchbox and sold in different ways across different centuries, across to different people. Nothing really ever changes, right?
Right.
And the stuff that we're dealing with probably got dealt with back in the first century some way, somehow. I'm sure people in the first century had to deal with, well, do we preach on Stephen stoning or don't we? Sure. And some people were probably zealous about, no, you better preach on that or because of this. But we don't see that in the scripture of Acts and how the people dealt with that. Mm-hmm. We saw what God used Stephen's death as a way to scatter people and to spread the gospel more.
Sure.
So situations like this come up, and it's an opportunity for us. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for us to start to ask our neighbors, to start asking people that we work with, to start asking other people, hey, how are you doing? Hey, this has been a really challenging, trying week for our just society in general. Mm-hmm. You okay? If you don't have that kind of level of humanity and compassion for people around you, and you solely want this to be some sort of way that you own the libs, quote unquote, to say, sure, or you own other people or other denominations or other fill in your X, Y, and Z here. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're understanding what's going on.
Yeah.
I keep going back to what Paul says in Philippians, where he says, you need to understand why I've been jailed. And it's for the fact that the gospel is going further.
Right.
If we don't understand the fact that, yeah, okay, a believer was murdered in public who had obviously a platform and who had stuff to say, and there's questionability around that stuff to say, and what should we call him? Should we call him a martyr or not? Those questions should be asked in retrospect.
Sure.
What needs to be asked is, hey, we just saw a murder on social media.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Because that doesn't happen every now and then.
Sure.
We saw somebody get publicly assassinated.
Yeah.
And somehow I feel like I don't know if people are asking like, is everybody okay?
Well, we're so desensitized. Like, we're so desensitized as a people. Like, and that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
But we're so desensitized as a people that we can view those things and probably not feel what we should be feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's just, we're so inundated with violence and horrific things every single day because of social media. Then when something truly horrific, like someone getting stabbed on a bus, someone getting shot in the neck, we don't feel it the way that I think we should. And I think it's not the only reason, but I think that is part of the reason that we can have such glib and quick responses. Like, if your pastor doesn't do this, if your pastor doesn't do this, what happened to just sitting in it and shepherding our people? Yeah. Like, I don't need to know your opinion.
I didn't ask you. Yeah.
You know?
What about the people that have to ride buses in your local congregation?
Oh, geez.
Have you asked them how they feel? Have you asked people who are going to college and don't feel safe on a college campus right now how they're doing?
Or people in your church that are involved in open air preaching. Is this going to affect them?
Yeah.
Right? But no, let's talk about the pastors that aren't saying what we want them to say. Again, it comes back to my point. Like, pastoring is more than just you behind a pulpit, my friend. Okay? And you, like, that being your response is very indicative to me. And it reveals things to me.
Yeah.
So, Jack, we have...
There's more to talk about on the podlucks.
Oh, 100%. 100%. We've probably...
We probably stirred the pot.
Entire listenership. Okay? We've probably done that.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, definitely more to talk about for sure. But we'll probably let others handle that at this point.
Yeah.
But Jack, we've done what we normally do and call out by name the whippersnappers of social media. We've gotten real edgy. Hopefully, Pat Abendroth is happy with this one. Shout out, Pat. Yeah, adding fuel to the fire. No, Pat's not associated in this. I want to be very clear. Pat's not associated with this in any way whatsoever. In fact, they don't. They're not.
department. Don't send not, an email to Pat, please.
Yeah.
Be like, you put wood us. In their fire, dude.
No, we didn't. They didn't do anything.
They did nothing. Yeah. Jack, why don't you please get us out of here, dude?
Yeah, if you just appreciate what we're trying to do and focus back on, which is the centrality of the local church in the believer's life, that's what we're here to do at the Reformatory. If you want to join us in that and help us to continue that mission here at the Reformatory, you can follow us on the sociables that have been blowing up. You can follow us on the Instant or the Facebook, the Metaverse, but now they have Metaverse glasses now, which are crazy.
Really?
You can follow us on the Facebook, the Metaverse, the Instagram goes well with calling out heresy and also goes good with chocolate marshmallow. Or you can follow us on the sociable formerly known as Twitter X. And we're at the tag at Reformatory Pod on all those sociable platforms. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in our endeavors here at the Reformatory. Yep.
That's right. Sorry, I'm distracted. I'm already perusing this book, this Mark Driscoll book.
Oh,
how
gosh.
How to find a Crate, which looks like the front of it was made, I guarantee you, it was made on by AI. This is
I'm
insane.
100% anyway, sure it was.
Head on over to the Patreon to hear more about that. Where the heck am I? Oh, yeah. If you want to listen, if you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it, I will say the Instagrams hit different when you watch them. They really do. It's worth it. Head on over to YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. If you want to help get this podcast out to more people, which after this app, I don't know if that's even a good idea. You can give the episode or this podcast a little 5-star action. 5 stars for 5 solas. As we say, Reformation Month coming up, and helps get the podcast out to more people. Last but not least, there is a Patreon. If you want to hear what Jack and I really think about the whole situation, you can head on over to Patreon. And for the cost of $5 a month, that's all it is. That's less than a Starbucks drink. You too could become a Patreon supporter. And our pledge to you, if you do so, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening. We will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.